Hi everyone, it is Sunday, April 26, 2020, day 26 of Sarasota lockdown. I heard that Sarasota Siesta Beach will reopen tomorrow, Monday the 27th, with the following restrictions. No congregating and visitors must practice social distancing. No lounging, no coolers, no umbrellas, no towels, no chairs. Also no access to the parking lots, no access to concession stands, and no access to playground. So that's what's gonna happen starting tomorrow. Anyway, I am going to call a friend. This guy owns a very important book.
The title of the book is Sex as Sublimation for Tennis, from the Secret Writings of Freud.
Hey Bob, how are you?
Fine, I'm very fine today. I'm a little overcast out there, but we can handle it.
You can handle? Anyway, so you know, since I published your reading of the table of contents of this very sensational book, people are asking me about the content. And I read something about the fresh can of balls, and they want more.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to read that part today or discuss that. I mean, there's so much there to depth. So, we are going to talk a little bit about the tennis instinct theory, which is all what Freud had, you know. So it's very, you know, it's very detailed, and that's just one aspect of I know you want to talk about that. If I knew in advance that was the specifics you want to talk about, but we can talk about whatever questions you have that I know of. I don't have a degree in this yet. Studying right now. I'm studying hard.
Oh yes. Now I heard. Yeah, I'm just curious. How did you get this book? Where did you get it? Was it part of your psychology thesis?
No, I had this book when I lived in Boston, and then, you know, 27 moves later, somehow I lost it, and then I rediscovered it. I searched for it and then bought a copy, one of the last remaining copies, that is, anyway.
I
have it in my collection.
Oh, sorry. I checked eBay, actually, and it is not available on eBay.
I probably have the last copy, so... and I have my name, my email address, and phone number written right inside the cover, so in case somebody finds it and they, you know, find themselves with extreme guilt, they will return it.
That's what you're hoping, right? People are going to be honest and will return that specific book to you.
Yes. Yeah. So it's got only information to get a hold of me, and I'll be, you know, travel anywhere worldwide to get the book back, because there's no remaining copies, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
I digress. So I have known you for over 15 years. Through tennis, right? So we used to belong to this wonderful club called Bath and Racket in Sarasota.
Yes, we did. I'm still a member.
Oh yeah, you're you know what? Actually, me too. But
yeah, we didn't quit. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we're not gonna quit. So when did you become a member there? When did you move to Sarasota?
Well, I'll tell you. 2004, I was living in Boston, and which I lived for many years, and my professional career was there. And you know how they love the Red Sox there, and they hadn't won a. They hadn't won a World Series since 1914. Which the joke was that every time there was a Russian Revolution, the Red Sox won the World Series. But anyway, I remember it. I was going to move here to Sarasota anyway. But the Red Sox lost to the Yankees on a Tuesday night. And they were down 3-0. And I said, I don't want to be around here for this winter. It's going to be a funeral all winter. Because it's a religion in Boston, Red Sox religion. So after the game, I got on online and got a JetBlue ticket to Sarasota to stay with my friends. And then on Thursday, they won, and then they won the next 8 games in a row to win the World Series.
Wow.
So
you were the magic.
I guess I had something to do with it. Yes, it was a curse.
I think.
And anyway, so that's when I, 2004, October of 2004, that's when I moved here.
Oh. And when did you start playing tennis?
I started playing tennis because my company, which was Thermo Electron Corporation, the corporate headquarters was right next door to a tennis club, and it was fake grass courts, and now it's no longer there, but it was in Waltham on 128, which is, in quotes, America's technology highway. Anyway, so it was free. We could play there for free. I mean, and so, you know, a lot of us sometimes we play basketball much, and I was a big basketball player. And I was getting up there in age, and you can't go to the hoop anymore. So I started playing tennis, and people were there playing, and we had a lot of fun. And I made a lot of friends doing that, too. Then years later, I got involved with after-work tennis.
The after-work tennis?
I met a lot of people, because at that time, I was just paying at lunchtime, and you know, it was free, you know.
And you were in your 20s?
No, I'm trying to do the math. I was high 30s.
Really?
Yeah. I switched from basketball.
From basketball to tennis.
Yes, my theory is that all tennis players that didn't start when they're young, their games are a variation on whatever sports they played.
So.
And yours is dancing.
Actually, badminton for me and dancing.
So mine, yeah, see, there you go. Mine is a variation of basketball and baseball. So, you know, I'm playing zone defense when, you know, but there's a net in between. There's no need to play zone defense, but...
That explains your slices. Thing.
Yes, it explains so many things.
Yes, and...
Right.
No, I know.
Why we all football, that people didn't grow up with tennis, because what sport... Do you look at your feet when you're doing something? You know, there's no sport that you look at your feet.
True.
Right?
No.
Sport. There's no sport you're doing that. And you know, it's just that. And the other thing is that in clay, there's no other sport where you slide on both your feet. I mean,
correct.
You know, it's bad to slide on both your feet. But anyway, so it's a different game, you know that.
A totally different game, but it's a fun game. And, you know, both of us met a lot of amazing people.
I owe a lot to tennis.
Yeah.
My friends. You
like
know, here, there, and everywhere. I've played in Yellowstone Park. My friend is a ranger. I've played in Ireland. I've played, you know, all over the place, you know.
And you're very popular in Sarasota. How many friends do you have here? And
right now, I have none. No.
Yeah.
Well, quarantine.
Yeah, that's right. We're under quarantine right now.
Right.
And
yeah. I have lots of friends, you know, because I grew, you know.
Because of tennis, right?
Yeah, but I'm gregarious too. My mother was like, you know, my mother was incredible. You know, she cooked for everybody. She ran a rooming house. So, you know, everybody loved my mother. She had two whole kitchens, you know. She cooked all the time. She would cook for 5 minutes. Everybody loved my mother. So anyway.
Wow.
I give that, you know, to my mother. That personality.
You're being sociable and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so that...
You're exactly right, yeah. Well, just like you.
Well, you know, whenever you say there's food, people will come, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, people will come. I've been to many of your masterpiece, amazing dinners.
Masterpiece Theater of Oriental.
Masterpiece dinners followed by a massive quantity of dancing.
Oh, yes.
That I watched, but I didn't do because, you know.
That's right.
I only dance when I'm drunk.
And we don't
That's
even...
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, and we don't even serve booze.
I know.
And
That's a whole other story.
Everyone gets crazy. But so I know you, when you were in your teens, well, didn't you get drafted? Were you, you're a veteran, right?
Yes.
So, you know, right now we have this coronavirus and they're saying that we are at war. I mean, as a veteran, what do you think of this pandemic?
Well, that's, you know, it's a war. Your body's a war. That's basically what you don't really have control over. But other wars, you have control over something. Your weapons, you don't have weapons. Weapons are staying home and, you know, that's
it. You are isolating these days?
Nah, not really.
Not really? But, so how are you?
All the people I know.
How are you dealing with
this? It's like you need your friends. You know, I don't know anybody that's, that's died. Friends up north in Massachusetts, they have so many more cases than we do. Massachusetts only has like 6 million people, and we have like 3.5 times as many here. But it's a different environment because obviously all the density of Boston and all the big cities like Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's the density has something to do with it. And, the friends that I know, my close friends here, and we know some of them, and, we see each other, together for Easter, et cetera.
We're very lucky.
But I said that, whatever I have, they've got, whatever they've got, I have already. So, and everybody's keeping a low profile. It's not like we're, going anywhere. So that's, what are you going to do? You have no control over this stuff except being responsible.
But last week, I got really excited about your plan to meet at the East Side parking lot, east of Trader Joe's.
Yes.
And
right. And I thought it was a good idea at the time, but I had a couple drinks before that was in the evening, and then I put a couple of texts out there, and everybody was excited. And then other people personally said, "What are you crazy?"
What precipitated that? Why were you thinking of having this party, which actually I already bought a lot of food to bring to that particular party? I was going to make my coconut macarons and gyoza and make some sushi and stuff, but we'll just have to wait for the right time.
Why am I not surprised? But anyway, no, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and then other people said, why don't you wait 2 weeks? Actually, this weekend, was that a week ago? That was a week ago.
That was a week ago, yeah.
So next weekend, we should be able to, I think next week, starting Monday, it's like 50 or less people. But I didn't know if the club was going to open on May 1st, and I wanted to see if we could go hang out down there.
Yes.
So, of course, I got on my scooter and went down there, and my very fast Kimco 300cc scooter. And I went down there. Of course, Johnny Johnson was sitting in the parking lot by himself in his chair. And
I'm surprised you haven't seen me there. Sometimes I would park there and just walk around and check it out and take pictures, do a selfie in front of the Bath & Racket logo.
There you go. That's a good idea. I mean, so I just, he was there, so we sat for a little while. And I think we broke the social distancing rules, but I'd seen him before.
Wait, did you hug him?
What's that?
Did you hug Johnny?
No, this was within 6 feet or less.
Okay, good.
Because I had to get,
did he throw a can of beer at you?
No, yes, did I bring my own beer? I don't remember. I just had one beer and then we both took off and we chatted, compared life notes from the last time I saw him. And then, I went down to Siesta Key, which is beautiful, on my scooter, which is great because I could park pretty much anywhere. And, went for a dip and all that stuff. So that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Siesta Beach will be open tomorrow. So you're ready for that?
Yes. You have to keep moving, though. Yeah. So you can't sit down. And interesting to see if the drum circle happens, because people in the drum circle, in the middle of the drum circle, will have to be moving. And so people on the outside, so it'll be one circle moving on the inside, one circle moving on the outside. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to sit out.
I think they have to bring in those orange ropes and just, remind us, the spacing, for especially for the drum circle.
Oh, I see. Well, I carry a tape measure with me at all times.
Oh, yeah, that's very handy. We're lucky. Is, we're really,
absolutely,
really lucky.
This is the best place to be. I mean, you know, I mean, I grew up in New York. What a nightmare. You know?
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not taking this for granted. It's we count our blessings every day, right?
That's right. You have my quote. Did you see my quote?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Did you see my Eric Hoffer quote? My Eric Hoffer was an American philosopher, a longshoreman. And he said he'd like to be a longshoreman because he could think while he was working.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, he said that the toughest arithmetic to master is the ability to count with blessings.
Yes.
Which I think is a very good saying, you know.
It is a very good saying. Every day we got to count our blessings. And
yes.
I know, we're just really, really lucky. So,
absolutely.
What do you think if Beth, let's say, for example, you know, let's say... you're in the shoes of the Bath & Racket owner, right? And you are faced the fact that you need to reopen. What are you going to do besides giving everybody free membership?
Well, that's nice. That's very... I wish you were in charge, but I don't think it's going to happen, but I have no idea. It all comes down to, you know, his personal life and what he wants to do and financial and whatever, you know, the spreadsheet he has to get out, which I'm sure he has, I'm figuring things out. And so that's what it comes down to. I mean, you see some clubs like, I don't know if you ever played in Englewood.
Oh, yes, in Englewood.
But they own their own property, I think. So that's why it's cheap there. And
correct.
Some of these places that own their own property and there's no overhead except for, you know, little things, you know. And it's very inexpensive, so.
It's very tough. I mean, it's like my second home. Your second home too, right?
Yes, it is.
We were stripped with our second home.
Yeah, I know, and all my friends, you know. I mean, that's why a lot of people are upset, you know, because, you know, there's no equivalent. It's the location and everything, and
it's perfect.
You know, yeah, it's perfect for everything. It's right in the middle of, you know, both sides of the city, so.
So why don't you...
Here's a useful saying from Bob.
I have all the money I need for the rest of my life if I die by 4 o'clock.
What do you mean? That's before happy hour, Bob.
I know. I'm just saying he's got all the money. You know, whatever. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yes, but you got a plan after happy hour.
Right, I can do some, you know, the spiritual advisor there, but that's about it.
That's it, yes. Remember you, one time we were playing against you, and it was so funny. I think, that was 10 years ago, and during one of those mixed doubles, right? And then I hit a ball to you, and you said, man, there's no pace at all.
That's because you have touch, that's why. You have such touch. Your touch is an important...
I'm still trying to make you laugh, Bob, because there's this girl, she wants to hear you laugh. I heard that...
Which girl?
Yeah, I'm not going to divulge my information.
Okay, but no, you have touch. I mean, it's because, you know, usually, see, guys are so aggressive and they're, you know, trying to do something, and they're trying to kill the ball. Watch you since, of course, play singles for like 7 hours in a row, which I could never do.
Sorry, that's my only superpower. So much about your book.
Yeah, well, I'm going to read a letter written by Sigmund Freud to a correspondent of his, a Dr. Feister. Now, Feister, it's a Silent P.
Oh, okay, so, yes, exactly.
Silent P.
It's not Fauci. So,
yeah, and this is his name. His name was Oscar Feister.
All right.
And he was a pastoral counselor. Became an early. He was an early supporter of tennis instinct theory, which is Freud's.
Yes.
He's best known for his inspirational book, God is My Doubles Partner.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool!
Isn't that incredible? Okay.
I'm gonna look that up. All right. So you want to read that now? Cool.
Yes. Okay. So this is a letter that Sigmund wrote to Dr. Feister in August 7th, 1903. And anyway, he goes, my dearest Feister, As you well know, I could not contemplate with any sort of comfort a life without work. Until recently, I took little delight in anything else. It is thus with a great deal of surprise and envy that I view my patients and many of my colleagues who seem to be able to carry on normal activities and yet spend endless hours sweating and running around tennis courts. Their lack of guilt baffles me. Ordinarily, if I cannot participate in worldly pleasures, I write a theory to explain why people who indulge themselves are neurotic. In this instance, however, my defenses against the tennis instinct are collapsing. Having thoroughly analyzed myself, I am forced to admit that any inclination to squeeze the joy out of tennis derives from pure hatred and jealousy. As good and as kind as they are, I wish I could get away more from Martha and Anna. Martha is his wife, his first wife, and Anna was his sixth child, and she was the youngest. He had two more children with his second wife. I wish I could get away more from Martha and Anna with their seriousness and practicality. I feel I would not look good in tennis shorts, and I am bound by a morbid superstition about crossing white lines. The carnal delights experienced by participants in this sport have evoked a response in me from deep within. I'm tempted to reconcile this growing trend with my earlier theories of self-destructive and cannibalistic instincts. But such is the beauty of the sport that it defies easy neurotic solutions. Yours, Sigmund. So that was the letter you wrote, Dr. Feister.
So, yeah, so you can relate for sure, right?
No, I don't have a bad feeling about wearing white tennis shorts. As a matter of fact, it's my preferred. But then the thing is, if you wear white tennis shorts, you can't wear a white shirt.
No.
So I mix them in. Yeah, I mix them in because
I don't always want to wear.
So many. I can't believe I'm counting them.
You've arranged your wardrobe according to color and your...
I have the dark shorts drawer, and I got the white shorts drawer. Oh, the light... There's actually a pair of gray shorts in there, but all the rest are white.
That's pretty cool. You don't happen to have red shorts, huh?
No, are you kidding me?
No, nothing...
You know, I may never hear the end of that.
Molest.
Exactly. So that's the way it is.
That's good. I like that letter. I mean, you can say that some tennis players have a spice of being neurotic, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I
think it's a great outlet, right, to express your frustrations, you know, during the day, and then you just hit the tennis court and... you can hit, but you know what I don't understand, why men, you know, during mixed doubles, why do they want to kill their opponent?
Well, it's the old conquering instinct of overrunning villages, getting in, especially I'm Norwegian, so that's a really instinct that we have, hitting people on the head with axes, and all that stuff. But no, I mean, men, it's like a killer instinct, it's or something. I don't know. It's you have to get over it. And, I don't know. But it's it lets you get it out. Theoretically, but you got to have self-examination. You can't do that, especially in mixed doubles. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But you don't can't do it generally anymore. Anyway, it's kind of weird to see the macho.
Yeah. Multiple personalities on court, right?
You got to be kidding me. I mean, that's true. Totally true. Incredibly true. We've seen everything. We've seen just about everything out there.
That is why I love this sport, because, suddenly you have an excuse to be neurotic, right? And be psychotic
I don't think it's a conscious thing,
I don't think so either. Yes.
It comes out. I mean, it's not like, I can be this because people don't do it. They don't realize what they're doing. I mean, they are doing it because of the situation,
That competitive edge.
What's that?
Being competitive, it just drives people nuts,
Your whole life is between those lines, literally, right then. Everything doesn't exist outside there, which is why sports has always been an escape for any sport,
Yeah.
It's outside. All the problems of the world don't exist outside the court, and but you do bring your life into the court. So, it's a dichotomy.
It's fascinating.
It's a dichotomy. Yes, fascinating dichotomy, which is why Freud was interested in all this and wrote extensive papers on it now on the tennis instinct theory. That's the name of his theory, the tennis instinct theory. So it goes on, it gets deeper and deeper. You know, as I said, psychoanalytical investigation takes 7 years. I mean, he wrote 27 volumes. So
I didn't know he played tennis. And why did they have to have to keep this a secret? Because it says the secret writings of Freud.
Well, it was an obsession, you know. He felt himself as a neurotic, you know, with this. He's not supposed to be that because he's supposed to be, you know, old because he's the guy talking to you while you're lying on the couch. But, you know, he's just self-examination. I mean, that's what he said. Was it the tennis court is my couch or something like that? That's what he said.
That's
he
true.
Back in its shrink wrap now and then put it away until it's next needed.
Yes,
once in a while, take it out. Yes.
Yeah, but I want to remind you. You said you were going to loan it to me so that
you were going to have it. Oh, you definitely. You know, I trust you, of course, Maria.
Yes.
Beyond anybody here in Sarasota, and I know that you would cherish it.
I will.
As long as you're not reading it during one of your banquets and some of the food flying around from the hot tables gets all over, and I'm like it.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to protect it and guard it from soy sauce.
There you go. Exactly. Right. Yes, exactly. You know, soy sauce, you can't get that out.
No.
That's one of my missions. I got many of them.
Yeah, one of your bucket lists.
I'm a good thinker, but... I'm also a good procrastinator.
No, you're a good executioner too, but it's just, you know, a matter of time, right?
Exactly. I got to get the right timing
and the right event to do it. Yeah, we should do that. Maybe like on your next birthday, you know, instead of bringing you crappy presents, right? So, you know, maybe bring a tennis racket for your cause.
Well, I decided a couple of years ago not to have any more birthdays. That way
Yeah, you will stay the same, but...
I want to be like Janet Sperling, whose birthday is February 29th.
Oh, yeah, she's so young.
So she's only like, she's very young. She only has a birthday.
Is she a teenager yet? She's probably not even a teenager.
That's great. I mean, awesome.
Yeah, but on your next birthday, sometime in August, then we can say, you know, to celebrate you, you know, then we can execute one of your missions.
Did I tell you my birthday was in August? You knew that.
I know, August 4th.
You know that.
Of course I knew that.
Okay.
You know, I've been to some of your birthday parties.
Yes, you have.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, it was always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope to look forward to do it again, and hopefully seeing people.
Yes.
Again, and we'll have a party when the statute of limitations worn off, and so we won't get arrested, and we'll have a big get together. And I think if you saw that, everybody's gung ho on it too. Everybody wants to do it because I put that on Facebook. We're gonna have a huge party.
Yes,
we'll
absolutely.
We'll rent a place.
Uh-huh. Everybody's excited about it.
Yes, exactly. Because we need to get together. We need a communion together.
Yeah, but we want to make sure that we follow Dr. Gordillo's CDC requirements.
I don't know if it's going to change like that forever. By the time we get around to the party, it's going to be a couple of months or so from now. It should be fine, right?
Yeah, it should be fine.
Because, you know, I mean, we can't go around scared in our life. And I think tennis players are very healthy, and I don't think there's a problem with that. You know, if we just us get together, we're not going to have people up the street. You know,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah. You have to give the secret tennis handshake.
Correct. Yeah, which we still have to come up with.
Exactly.
It's the tennis shoe bump.
Okay, Bob. Thanks again. Well, friends, hope you have been entertained slightly. And thank you for listening. Have a good one.